So during these months before, or these weeks before Christmas, I put this Christmas tree up there, and we have been taking a look at the different presents that we might be able to give God. It's normally a time when we would think about the great things that God does for us. But I thought I would take a little different slant on this and take a little look at four presents for God that we might be able to give to Him in these days before Christmas. Do you remember what the first one was? Yep, it was a heart. Very good, you remembered. And do you know what I did with the heart? Remember? We tore it up, put it back in the box, because that has to deal with something we can give God, a broken and contrite heart. A wonderful thing to offer God at this time. Take our sins before Him, be honest, be forthright, so that we might be able to grow in our love and appreciation of Jesus. Then we took a look at the second present last week. Remember what that was? That was our bodies. Remember Romans 12 said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God? And we learned a little bit about what that meant, a sacrifice. First of all, sacrifice in the Bible and the great sacrifice Christ made for us, how He now owns our bodies and our lives, and what it means to really be people that worship giving sacrifice, which isn't easy, right? That's why they call it a sacrifice, to give all that we are, as we call ourselves by name, and all that we have, we turn over to God. And so we have the last, or the third, present in our gifts to give God. And the last one seems a little bit odd, but it's very biblical. It is a test. And so from Malachi 3, if you would read with me, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be enough for all. Give me a test, and you will see that I will open up heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it all. Give God a test in your tithe, and He will change your life. How many of you like a test? Some people are good testers. They really are. How many of you like to take a test? No, it's kind of like doing your taxes, isn't it? I mean, who wants to do that? It'd be nice if we could do away with benchmarks and tests. But it's almost impossible in this world, with all the people and all the needs and all the things that have to be done. And how would you like your doctor to never have taken a test? And you go in for surgery. How would you feel about that? Or you hop on a bus and the driver has never taken a single test to drive or even drive a bus. Would you feel pretty comfortable, especially if it was their first time? Probably not. Tests can be a good thing. You know, the odd thing about this is, remember, in the Bible, this is really odd. It says in there, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So there seems to be a little bit of a conflict here. Remember Jesus, when He was in the wilderness, the last temptation, jump off the temple, and you'll not be hurt. That's what the devil said. Because God will see what you're doing, and He'll send His angels to protect you. And Jesus looked at him and said, no, that's kind of silly. We would never want to test God's love and care for us, because we know that He promised to give it, and He does. And so we would never put God to the test. Well, that's in that particular incident and what was going on. But this is different. When we become Christians and God's people, there are times we should test Him. And it should be a response of what's in our heart, our love and our attitude, and our willingness to follow Him. So we do that as we're tested, and then we test God. And we actually know that if we do this, God Himself will come forward and open up the floodgates of heaven with blessing upon blessing. Here's the part a lot of us don't like. Did you see it up there? The word starts with a T. T-I-T-H-E. Tithe. How many of you just love it when the church starts to bring forth that message of a tithe and giving? I don't see a single hand up. I didn't expect to see it. Most of the time, we say to our church, don't talk to us about giving. I don't want anybody to know anything about my giving. I don't want them to know if I tithe or don't. I don't want them to see what I'm really doing. Okay, if you're a big giver, I get that. But in most cases, people are kind of pulling back because they know they haven't fulfilled the scripture in this area. But remember what the scriptures say. Test God with a tithe. All you people, bring forth what you have. We'll bring it into the storeroom of God's house, and we'll see the floodgates of heaven open up wide, and there will be blessing upon blessing beyond your imagination. Great and wonderful things will happen. Tithe in the Bible was usually a tenth. In the Old Testament, people farmed and did this kind of stuff, and so they didn't use cash so much. They would bring in their grain and their animals, a tenth of it. And it would be the best of the best. In other words, the first portion of the crop would be brought in because that's the best portion of the crop. I come from a farming background, and I know when we made hay, Timothy and alfalfa, that the first crop was the best crop. You could pull 1,000 bales off a certain field, the first crop. The second crop, maybe 600. The third crop, maybe 300. And it certainly wasn't as good as that first crop that we cut at the beginning, middle of June. And animals, God said, bring forth the best of your best. I don't want the sickling ones, the ones that are going to probably die anyway. I want the best of the best. They were brought in to the priests, and the priests would use them for sacrifices. They would also use them to feed the other priests, and they were used to take care of the orphan, the widow, the poor, and the unfortunate. So it was needed, the best of the best. Of course, I don't know how many of you are farming anymore and rely on grain and animals, and that's how you go about your life, by trading them. We're in a mostly cash-only society, right? Although cash has changed in nature from being paper and coin to being card and plastic, right? But that's really how we take care of ourselves and others today, as a cash-only society. Looking at a tenth of that is still as difficult as looking at the best crop and the best animals. Of course, you all know how to give the best of the best. That's when you set up your budget and you take care of your budget on a regular basis. The first portion of it goes over to the needs of the church, the kingdom of God and its work. I do electronic giving. There's a few of us in the congregation that do that. It does take somebody who's a little further, I think, along in their faith to do electronic giving, simply because you have to remember that it's coming out, and you have to be mindful and thinking about that when you take care of your bills for the month. The other thing is it comes out automatically from the beginning, and you don't really have to think about it, but maybe you should. Giving should hurt. It still hurts me because I'm mindful of the fact of what's going on in my budget electronic giving. But maybe if you went to that, you wouldn't be thinking about it, and you might not adjust your electronic giving monthly, and it may not phase you. You may not be praying about it, thinking about it the ways that I do. Do you see what I'm saying? The reason that it should hurt a little, and there should be some pain in giving, is simply because it is a sacrifice. It is something that we're taking away from what we think is ours and turning over to somebody else. And when we do that, we're mindful of our sin and our attitudes and what the world is like in terms of how they love God. We should be mindful of this because it puts us in the attitude that our giving is special. It's a gift of God, a prompting of the Holy Spirit. In our giving, we find the battle going on between good and evil as we challenge ourselves regularly towards that tithe and even maybe over and above that tithe. We understand that what comes out of our pockets, what comes out of our lives, what comes out of our living are tools and weapons that God is using in the battle against evil forces. We should be mindful about that when we think about texts and scripture like this. God is saying, step forward and represent me. Be the soldier of the cross that I call you to be. Of course, we all know it's just a response, isn't it, to the goodness of God in our lives. You know, God didn't have to send Christ to be born in the manger, did he? He could have stayed in heaven where things are all right and just and perfect, where things are without sin, but he didn't do it. Instead, he went to Mary and he said, Mary, you're going to have a son. And then he fulfilled that promise and Mary gave birth to the baby Jesus. That was a great sacrifice on God's behalf. Isn't it great that we can make that sacrifice of simple cash or card? We don't have to let blood or give our own lives in exchange for all the sin we've done in our lives. God has made it possible for all of that to be forgiven. And indeed, without even giving a single cent to any need in the world, including the church, your sins are already forgiven by way of faith, repentance, and love of God. See, the good news here is that God does love us no matter what. And the good news is he sends his Holy Spirit to bring forth fruits of the faith. The good news is we're on the right side. We're angels of the Lord, messengers of his, guardians of the gospel, those enlisted to take forth the love of God into the world. That's who we are. And yes, we do make sacrifices to make that happen. The other readings today offer something kind of unique and neat that I think we ought to consider. There was a situation going on in Corinth where Paul goes to the people there and says, you know, there's a famine in Jerusalem and you guys can help. I already have been to the Macedonian churches, and though they're very poor people, all I had to do was ask, and they really stepped up, and even beyond their means, they stepped up and they gave and they gave and they gave. Now I come to you, and with their great heart of love and giving, I challenge you to do the same. You see, those who were tested now became the benchmark for the testing of others. And then Paul even says, they gave the way they did because they gave themselves first to the Lord. They belonged to Him and they understood it. And so their response to this was simply a test to God because they knew God would do miraculous things in their presence. And so the people of Corinth looked at this and they stepped up because they saw the goodness of God going on in the early church at that time, and they saw that they could be a part of that. Later on, Paul says, you know, you're going to have great blessings. And even in this scripture today, heaven's gates will be open wide and there will be blessing upon blessing poured out. You know, the world today, some people think that if they give monetarily, they will get in return. Might not be money, but it might be other things. It might not be money, but maybe it'll be, you know, I won't get sick, or my cancer will go away, or my problems with the family will disappear. That's not what that's not what the scripture is saying. The scripture is saying something very basic. There's a spiritual blessing we all get in our gift. I've already said one of them, and that's that we get to be a part of that great battle against the forces of evil. Our giving is like a weapon against the devil. Now, the last one, of course, is the fact that each and every one of us will be settled in our heart. The more we turn ourselves over to God, the more we see the true peace and comfort and joy that comes from a right relationship with Him. We see that we are responding to our faith. We see the work of the Holy Spirit. We see something within ourselves that God is doing and working, and we feel closer to Him. It's an ongoing challenge, but it's a good one to think about what's under the tree today and say, you know what? I think I'll turn over to God a test and see what wonderful things He's going to do in my life and the life of the church. Amen.